Hello again from Washington. This is VOA's Press Freedoms Podcast. I'm your editor, Doug Bernard, with you once again. Thanks so much for joining us. And it's a pleasure to welcome this week Christian Carl. Mr. Carl is an international op-ed editor at The Washington Post. And in addition to that, he has traveled a great deal of the world conducting journalism, and no doubt in a number of difficult places. This week, he had an interesting article about yet more challenges some reporters and contributors to The Washington Post are experiencing. Of course, that paper, no stranger to troubles with journalists. But let's dive a little bit deeper into this. Mr. Carl, thank you so much.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
So explain to us briefly. I have to say the headline caught my eye, and the story that you relate, kind of one of the principal stories that you relate in this article. It's called Another Post Contributor Under Attack, this time from Thailand. What's going on here? What are you explaining?
Well, I'm writing about one of our contributing writers who is a dissident and academic from Thailand. His name is Pavin Chachavalpongpon, and he's a very, very interesting guy, a very harsh critic of the current monarchy and of the military junta that are jointly ruling in Thailand. The monarchy, as you might know, enjoys a very privileged position in Thailand, and under the previous king, the monarchy was really very revered. But then in 2014, the military seized power in a coup, and a few years after that, the old king died, replaced by his son, and he's a rather actually sinister figure.
Now,
and under him, we've seen a whole bunch of Thai dissidents in exile abducted, disappeared, killed. And recently there was an attack on Pavin, on my contributing writer as well.
Well, just as a quick little bit of background, as I recall, King Adunyadet sat on the throne for many decades. You referred to him as a revered leader. He actually had, at various times in Thai history, played an important role in helping calm the nation or in helping the nation through difficult transitions. This new king also is protected by these lege majeste laws, but what is he doing that is so different from his predecessor?
Well, I'm really glad you mentioned that fact about the role of the old king. Well, the new king is, I would say, not as benign a figure. He's clearly gone in whole hog with the military junta that's running the country. So unlike his father, who, as you pointed out, sometimes enabled transitions to a more open regime, this monarch is very much supporting the military regime, and they are very much supporting him. So it's kind of a partnership. And there are a whole series of things. I'm not sure we want to go into them now, but, you know, over the years there have been a series of videos describing this king's personal lifestyle, you know, including, just to give you one example, a notorious video of him celebrating the birthday of his prized poodle with his then girlfriend, who was forced to go around topless the entire time in the video. Just strange things that don't exactly endear him to ordinary people. So he's actually come in for a lot of criticism, but criticism, of course, in this environment in Thailand has to be made very, very carefully and usually online, because it's very risky to do so.
Well, it would appear now he's targeting dissidents, perhaps dissident journalists among them, who are not even living in Thailand. I'm going to probably get the name wrong, but Pavin Chachavalpongpong, he was in Japan, and you relate this story that sounds like it's out of a movie.
Yeah, it's a very, very strange incident, and we still don't really know exactly what was going on there. But the short version is, earlier this month, he and his boyfriend were sleeping in their house in Kyoto, which is where Pavin has been teaching at a university. A man broke into the house and sprayed them with a chemical that made their skin burn, and then he managed to get out, run away. They went to the hospital. They were they were treated there by the doctors, who said, well, nothing really that life-threatening here, but just some kind of chemical irritant that we can't identify. It was clearly an attempt at intimidation, a threat, following a whole series of strange phone calls that Pavan had been getting in ways that were extremely concerning. So we've interpreted this as a shot fired across the bows, as it were. You know, Japan is a very, very civilized country with solid rule of law. So, you know, if somebody come in and actually killed Pavan, it might have raised much more of a stink in Japan than simply issuing a kind of threat the way this was done.
You make reference to, a little shadowy here, but maybe the existence of, I think the term is death squad, that's run by somebody who is close to the ruling family. Boy, this sure does sound familiar with another story involving another dissident journalist that's been in the news over the last year.
It really bears a lot of eerie resemblances to the story of Jamal Khashoggi, my colleague here at the Washington Post, who, as your listeners probably know, was abducted by Saudi security forces in the Saudi consulate in Istanbul and killed right on the spot. What's been happening in Thailand is that a lot of these exiled dissidents have also been abducted, disappeared, and sometimes their bodies turn up horribly disfigured. We had, in December of last year, we had two very well-known dissidents abducted from their exile in Laos, and then their bodies turned up in the Mekong River filled with concrete. You know, really grim detail, but there is the idea among many of the dissidents in these various exile communities that they're being targeted by a hit squad run by people close to the king. So again, very weirdly similar to the situation in Saudi Arabia.
Christian Carl, the Washington Post, this is not unique to the Washington Post. And I would like to ask you a question that we ask ourselves all the time, to which we frankly just don't have an answer, which is, what seems to be going on in the world? I mean, you know, you have journalists being thrown off buildings or poisoned in Russia. You have, it seems everywhere you turn, journalists are under attack. Am I amplifying this?
I think that's true. I think there are a number of factors involved. I think certainly the most important is that we've seen a rise of authoritarian regimes around the world and in recent years. You know, I think one of the most vivid examples being that of Turkey, which really was a pretty solidly thriving democracy just 15 or 20 years ago. And in the past few years, it's become more and more authoritarian. It's become one of the biggest jailers of journalists in the world. So that exemplifies this larger trend. And of course, what happens when you have all these authoritarian governments becoming more and more aggressive in defense of their own prerogatives is that they kind of cover for each other, right? So, for example, we've seen, this isn't directly about the press, but we've seen this horrible case of up to 2 to 3 million Uyghurs being imprisoned in Western China. And the Turkish government, which is, the Uyghurs are ethnically a Turkic people. So if anybody should be speaking out for the Uyghurs, it's the Turks. And the Turks have completely just passed on that, as well as many of the other Muslim governments in the world. These governments are all kind of covering for each other. And the fact that the United States seems rather reluctant to speak out on human rights issues these days, the government, I mean, certainly doesn't help either, because it used to be that if somebody in Saudi Arabia was thinking about killing a dissident, we could assume that the United States government was going to speak out about that quite forcefully, and we're just not seeing that these days. Nor are we seeing it, by the way, from the Europeans, I have to say.
Honestly, how much pause does this give you or your colleagues when you are preparing, you know, to be sent out into the field to go do the work that you do?
Well, that's a great question. I mean, I can in no way compare my situation to that of these brave, brave people in places like Turkey or Thailand who are doing these things. Another one of my contributing writers here is Vladimir Karamurza, a Russian dissident who has been poisoned twice and keeps going at it. I just have the utmost respect and veneration for these people. We certainly do not face anything remotely comparable to that. But I do have to say that, for example, you know, I've published a lot of op-eds recently by dissidents from Turkey, including recently one of the leaders of the PKK, you know, the outlawed terrorist organization, asking for peace talks with the Turkish government. And my Turkish friends have pretty much told me I should not be going back to that country for a while because, you know, I could get into trouble. Does that mean I, you know, would be in danger of losing my life? Probably not, but I could experience various forms of unpleasantness. But again, you know, that's my luxury. I can opt out. I can just say, well, you know, I'm not going to Turkey. But my Turkish colleagues, for them, it's a choice between prison or exile. So, yeah. You know, I certainly would never dare to compare myself with that at all. You know, all I can do is use this luxurious freedom that I have to help those people tell their stories and mm-hmm. and hopefully give them a bit of protection.
Right. Well, don't stop what you're doing. And if you ever figure out how we can improve the situation, I hope you'll give us a call because we surely would like to know.
Well, there you go. But I mean, you're doing great work too. Please keep it up. I mean, we need publicity for these issues.
Christian Karl is international op-ed editor at the Washington Post. Thank you again so much for the time.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
And thank you so much for joining us. We come to your way weekly here on VOANews.com. We'll see you again next week. Take care.